This is WMUK's West Southwest Brief. I'm Gordon Evans. In recent weeks, the news has been filled with stories of tensions between the United States and Iran.
We're putting additional sanctions on. They're going on slowly and in some cases actually pretty rapidly. But additional sanctions are being put on Iran.
But the adversarial relationship goes back decades. For instance, in 1979, 52 Americans were taken hostage at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran.
So when we talk about the history of Iran, most Americans think of 1979. That's what they think of. Iranians think of 1953.
Harold Boy is a retired Unitarian Universalist minister in Kalamazoo. He's also taught history and other subjects. Dr. Michael Cagney is a retired cardiothoracic surgeon. He was born in Iran. Dr. Cagney was a young boy in 1953 when the elected prime minister, Mohammad Mossadegh, was removed from power, and the Shah, who had been in exile, returned.
With the help of CIA and intelligence service of England, they were able to bring the Shah back, who then has left Iran because the uprising of the people, brought him back to Iran and overthrew Mossadegh. They jailed him, and eventually he died in seclusion. But this left a very bad taste in the Iranian psyche, that all you're interested is to take the cheap oil and they don't care about the Iranian people.
Earlier this year, the NPR podcast Throughline interviewed Stephen Kinzer, author of All the Shah's Men, and examined the role of the CIA in the 1953 Iranian coup.
And then he hired a second mob to attack the first mob,
which led to bloody, violent clashes between the two mobs.
And the really trippy thing was that everybody involved
in the battles was being paid to be there. But what they didn't know was they were being paid by the same source,
the CIA. And all of this was designed to create confusion and to signal that Mossadegh was the source of the violence in the country.
You came to the United States in 1970.
That is correct.
So you lived under a lot of this. How did you decide that you wanted to live in America, despite knowing this history of the U.S. government's involvement
Good question. 1970, it took me 8 years to finish my postgraduate training. So when I finished was 1978. That was when I finished fellowship in Cleveland Clinic. My wife then was perfusionist. She was trained. And my plan was to go back to Iran, back home, and develop a cardiac surgery center. But then when I went back home for exploration, this is 1978. This is June 1978. I found out that it's very difficult to set up a practice. I have to have at least $200,000 to $300,000 to buy equipment to do this, and I could not be practicing if I wasn't a member or having a share of this hospital or that hospital. So I thought it's going to be very difficult to practice. And also at that time, I saw the unrest in Iran when I went to visit. I saw lots of people demonstrating in university, in the streets. So I thought the situation is very unstable. But still I had this idea to go home and open a big cardiac practice and help people. But it didn't work out. As you know, the revolution took place and my kids were all born here and it was very difficult to do. And I, to be honest with you, I thought it was a disservice to my children if I take them there, because they are going to have a good education here, which wasn't then the case in Iran.
So for a lot of people, if we're talking from 1953 forward, most of us cannot remember a time when there was not some tension between the United States and Iran, where the United States and Iran were not considered adversaries. Are they always destined to be adversaries?
No, it wasn't really. I mean, truly, honestly, we always look at the U.S. as a free country, a freedom-loving nation, and they had nothing against U.S. except just admiration. Honestly, I'm telling you, and this is why so many of my classmates, I'm talking about the graduate of 1967, out of 300 graduates of that class, 132 of them came to U.S.
Harold Boy says there's no reason to believe that the U.S. and Iran have to remain in an adversarial relationship.
Look, we're friends with Germany. We're friends with Japan. these things ebb and flow, you know, relationships. I think what's important for us Americans to understand is the forces that are creating this animus, this hatred of Iran, and how it's hurting us.
I think a lot of restraint has been shown by us, a lot of restraint, and that doesn't mean we're going to show it in the future.
Basically, this tension comes from 53. I think the whole thing comes from this misunderstanding, this suspicion, this feeling that the U.S. is constantly trying to overthrow their government. Now, they love to see the U.S. do this, but it's not possible.
They love to see the U.S. overthrow the Iranian government?
I believe so.
The Iranian people, you mean? The people, just people on the ground. People you would have grown up with.
Yes, yes. Why? Because they found out this is not what they thought it's going to be.
You mean the Iranian government as it exists?
Present system. Yeah. Present system. The system is not working for the Iranian people as they claim. So there is a lot of unrest, unhappiness. But the people are not able to do much because who has the weapons?
President Trump has said Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. Both Boy and Kagani say they agree. But they also believe that no country should have nuclear weapons.
So I am all for not having nuclear weapon, period. But now that we have it, to stop proliferation. And when this
stop proliferation, exactly. Means not in Iran.
In any part of the world.
No country that's not in the nuclear club now should get to join?
Exactly, exactly. At least we would limit the ability of some nations to have this.
You know, I would say we should look at the motivation of Iran, why they would want to have a nuclear weapon. And I think it's important to note that those countries that have nuclear weapons don't get invaded, like North Korea, for example. So it's understandable why they would want a weapon, because they don't want to be invaded.
Harold Boy is a retired Unitarian Universalist minister and a member of the group Kalamazoo Nonviolent Opponents of War. Dr. Michael Kagani is a retired cardiothoracic surgeon in Kalamazoo. He was born in Iraq and came to the United States in 1970. A longer version of the interview is available in our podcast, WMUK's West Southwest. You can subscribe through Apple Podcasts and by searching podcasts in Google Music. It can also be found at the WMUK app and WMUK.org. At our website, there's also a link to the NPR podcast Throughline about the 1953 coup in Iran. For WMUK, I'm Gordon Evans.